corny.
It's a cute, it's a cute inspiration story to share. Barbara Streisand, right?
Streisand, yeah.
Nice. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. It's been an honor to share great conversations and great words with you. This concludes our chat. So thank you so much for your time here with Ka on APA Compass. Please be sure to check out our APA Compass website at apacompasswordpress.com. So until next time, I'm out.
This month in our community, Lewis and Clark College presents an excellent multicultural symposium featuring keynote speakers Dylan Rodriguez and Paul Butler, and the ever-popular, standing-room-only student production of Race Monologues. This is the Ray Warren Symposium on Race and Ethnic Studies, November 13 to 15 at Lewis and Clark College. The event is free and open to the public. You've been listening to APA Compass. We want to say a special thank you to our guests, Joe Ogden, Dal Strom, and Ping Ka Sutherland. Today's program was produced by Ka Her, Sarika Mehta, and Andrew Ye. Tune in to APA Compass on the first Friday of every month at 9 a.m. here on KBOO Community Radio. If you have questions, comments, or ideas, you can connect with us through our Facebook account. Podcasts are available on apacompass.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening to APA Compass.
This is KBOO Portland, where the time is approximately 10:01 a.m. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia news, headlines, and commentary with Chris Andre.
Today is Friday, November 1st, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Well, Chelsea Manning is, as we can certainly have predicted, in a struggle to have her gender identity recognized by the prison system. This is not a rather a no-brainer here. Nonetheless, it is notable that inequality reaches every corner of the nation, including prison systems, both military and civilian. And Interior Secretary Sally Jewells claims at a press conference that energy development and conservation go hand in hand. Oh, really? And where? What planet would that be on? We also are going to be speaking with Kayla McDuff with Greenpeace on the situation with the Arctic 30. Now it's 30 people in Russia, activists, seeking nothing more than to prevent the desolation of our waters. We share the oceans. We have no choice. And the idea that energy companies, oil companies, exploration and drilling companies can claim inadvertently many thousands of miles of water is unacceptable to some people. It's difficult to police, too, because we can walk out and look at a forest and we can see where they've clear-cut it. But you can't go out and walk around on the ocean and see where oil leaks from these drilling platforms at a stunning rate. If these things weren't in such remote areas, it would be front-page national catastrophe, hairs-on-fire story. But they're remote, they're cold, hard to get to, unless you're an oil company. And if it were not for the likes of Greenpeace and Sea Shepherd and others, that's about it. If it were not for their efforts and their risks and their courage, we would probably be looking out on vast stretches of water that are virtually poisonous to all life. So we'll be speaking with her, the Rainbow Warrior, the Greenpeace ship. The Rainbow Warrior is in Vancouver. And on Saturday, the public is invited down to have a look. I went down there yesterday and shot some film. It's an extraordinary vessel. And, of course, the bow sports the photographs of the Arctic 30. And first, though, we have weather to get through. Patchy fog this morning. Otherwise, it's going to clear off and reach a high around 61 with calm winds. And tonight, rain late, lows around 48. For tomorrow, for Saturday, a high around 53. Southeast winds 8 to 15. Winds could gust up to 24 miles per hour. And for Saturday night, they say showers are likely, but it's a slight chance, mostly cloudy, highs around 43. And then again, breezy. Winds 8 to 11, except for probably out in the gorge where it'll be a lot higher than that. And Sunday, rain, clouds, highs near 50, and a bit breezy for Sunday night. There's a slight chance of showers, 50-50 really. Otherwise, cloudy skies and low around 42, which brings us full circle to Monday morning. And for now, we are going to, we will revisit the alternative forecast a bit later. We've got waning crescent moon, 27 days old, and basically the advice is garden maintenance right now, compost piles and that sort of thing. As the leaves depart, it's now time to take a look around and observe the bare bones, the naked architecture of the living world, and see what that has to tell us. There's plenty, by the way. We have got Kayla McDuff with Greenpeace on the line right now. So before we get into any news from around Cascadia, we want to get an update from Greenpeace on the Arctic 30. Good morning, Kayla. Thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
The photographs of the 30 people are on display in the bow of the Rainbow Warrior over in Vancouver right now. And there's not a lot is known about what the Russian authorities have in store for them. What do we know?
I mean, we've heard this morning, overnight, that it seems they are going to be moved. Some of our diplomatic representatives who have been working with the Arctic 30 learned that there is talk that they'll be moved from Murmansk, where they are, up there in the Arctic, to St. Petersburg, which is, you know, thousands of kilometres away. We haven't had this confirmed yet, but this is certainly something that's on the cards. They have been in detention centres in Murmansk for 45 days now, and one of the big concerns is that there have been some pretty dire conditions for them. Most of them have been held in solitary confinement. They have all been held 23 hours a day in their cells, with only an hour out to walk around a very small concrete yard, and of course it's been freezing up there as winter sets in the Arctic. So, you know, I guess we're hopeful that perhaps conditions will be easier for them, or better for them at least, in St. Petersburg. A lot of the Russian commentary from academics who study these very repressive prison systems have said that particularly the detention centres are designed to break people. So we've had some fantastic letters and contact with families and with us from the Arctic 30, and they're telling us they're staying strong, but it does seem that the conditions have been very harsh. The other thing that is happening right now, we're very concerned about. When last week we got noticed via a website, actually, which was an interesting way to inform us, that the investigative committee was going to drop the piracy charges, which everyone, including they, I think, knew were pretty absurd, and instead lay hooliganism charges, which are also very serious charges in Russia. They can carry a 7-year jail term, similar charges to what Pussy Riot were charged with, and that they would drop the piracy charges. I mean, everyone from Vladimir Putin to Hillary Clinton said the piracy charges were bizarre. So unfortunately, what's happened since then is that they haven't dropped the piracy charges, although they have now gone through all 30 and charged them with hooliganism. So as it stands, they're actually charged with both piracy and hooliganism. We suspect that maybe because, strictly, legally, if they did charge them with hooliganism and drop the piracy charges, the seizure of the boat would have been absolutely unwarranted. The continued detainment of the activists, the crew, the journalists, and the ship would be completely unwarranted and illegal. And so our feeling is that maybe why, but we're really not having a great deal of communication from the Russian authorities. We learned through media reports about the hooliganism charges. And we're very much hoping that they will stick to their word and drop the piracy charges as they said they would. But at this stage, they could face, if both sets of the charges go ahead, something like 22 years in custody.
That's really chilling. What exactly were they doing? What activity were they engaged in that the Russians pointed to and identifying as hooliganism? And as for the piracy, it seems more like the Russians were the pirates here. They boarded the ship. And
I mean, especially if you've seen those photos of them with the guns pointed at their heads, these men wielding knives and with balaclavas on and carrying both automatic weapons and handguns, I think a lot of people have echoed that sentiment that they look far more like pirates than we do. The Russians are saying, on September 18th, back when this all began, we sent three of our little inflatable boats up to this enormous platform, tens of thousands of tons worth of Gazprom's major oil platform in the Arctic, the one they've been saying for several years will be the first Arctic oil drilling to become an active oil drill. For years they've failed to do that because their platform has had so many issues. It's a very old, very ill-equipped platform, and they haven't been able to do that. We see it as a real extreme danger, both to the Arctic environment, which, as we know, would suffer enormously if and possibly when there is some sort of oil spill, and also because of the imminent risk of intense climate change, which is affecting the Arctic first and foremost. Some of our activists were planning on hanging a banner, a poster, you know, like we often do, from the side of this platform. And that's pretty much where this incident began. The Russian commanders swooped down in a number of inflatable boats. They fired from their ship. They fired across our bow 13 times. And they also then seized two of the activists. They didn't charge them or arrest them, they just took them. And we didn't see those two people again until the following day when the commandos rappelled down from a helicopter onto the ship and took the entire ship captive. So, I mean, there was no other incident. That's the only incident there was. We have footage of it, and actually the Russians have footage of it that they released at one point, I think, to prove their case, but it actually backfired because it shows just how, you know, from the beginning, our people are doing what they would always do in a tense situation. They are not running. They are not trying to escape. They are fully aware that that we have to wait until the police arrive in most situations, or until the situation can be defused. They have their arms up from the beginning. The only moment of sort of panic in that first day was that the Russian commander started pulling on the rope of one of our activists, a young woman from Finland called Sinny, and that, you know, incredibly dangerous, particularly in the Arctic, because you don't really want to fall some depth into the icy Arctic waters. And she was very scared, and I think even some of the people trying to help and support her were very nervous that they were going to hurt her or worse. So the only attack that happened that day was some pretty violent approaches by this Russian Federal Security Services, which is why, you know, in the opinion of our organization, and also in the opinion of dozens and dozens and dozens, really dozens of independent law academics, law experts, both maritime experts and international law experts, there was just no basis for the piracy charge. And we argued that the hooliganism charge, which if you read the Russian law, is very much centered around having to do something that has to be violent, and it has to be with the intention to overthrow society or to cause civil unrest. And we would, again, argue that that certainly doesn't meet what happened that day on September 18th. So, you know, in our opinion, and again, it's shared by many people outside of Greenpeace, that both these sets of charges are absolutely unwarranted.
It's an instrument of repression and to obviously to inspire timidity and keep people from daring to do anything at all. But this, however, taking place in international waters is another thing entirely. Keela, thanks so much for that. If you
could give
listeners the website and where you know how we can show our support, stand up in solidarity for the Arctic 30, and find out more about what's going on.
And as you say, the Rainbow Warrior is up with you guys for another couple of days.
Yeah.
Open boats this weekend. People can go and have a look. They can meet the crew and captain. They can get a tour. This is our latest purpose-built eco-yacht. It's pretty impressive, as you mentioned before. And then it's heading down to San Francisco. So it'll be in San Francisco the following week with the same series of activities.
Keela, thank you so very much for that. Thanks for being with us today. And we send our support and stand solidarity with the Arctic 30. What they've done is very courageous, and the response of Russia is a bit over the top is an understatement. We are basically out of time. Chelsea Manning struggling to have a gender identity recognized. That's as though any one of us listeners has to fight the government just simply to claim their own gender. And more on that in the coming days. And on New York, a federal appeals court, a block of a judge's ruling that found the New York Police Department's stop and frisk policy to discriminate against minorities. That has now gone down. It's very likely that the outcome of next